Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Carol Francis Talk Radio Show. Let's make life happen together with authors, scientists, researchers, both inside the box and outside the box of understanding so that you can live a life full of your success, curiosity, enjoyment, happiness, and richness of life in every respect. Let's go beyond our limits. Let's help others go beyond their limits as well. Welcome.
You know, we definitely have someone who's going to help us all go beyond our limits. Hello, Wynn Kelly Charles. Welcome to the Dr. Carol Francis Show.
Thank you for having me on.
You have a wonderful story to tell us, and not such a wonderful story to tell us. I have to say that this is going to be bittersweet, and I don't want to sugarcoat this. I want this to be real, but you are amazing the way you've been able to
sugarcoat what has gone on and why I wrote the book. So, no, we don't want to sugarcoat it.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. This is a tender issue. This is your life we're talking about. So, Wynn, start us off where in your life you want us to begin so we can ultimately understand who you are. And, folks, we will be talking and referencing her book, I, Wynn, and another book. But, Wynn, where in your life do you want us to pop in?
Well, basically, I would like you guys to understand what cerebral palsy is. And now, that said, cerebral palsy is a traumatic brain injury, so to speak. I have a level 5 and a level 4 brain bleed, a level 5 on the left side and a level 4 on the right side. How a child acquires cerebral palsy, or anyone acquires cerebral palsy, is through lack of oxygen at birth. So I was diagnosed with cerebral palsy in 87. And at that time, I was born in Aspen, Colorado, as I mentioned in my book, and at that time, they didn't have the resources to take care of me, in a sense. So I was, immediately after I was stabilized, I was flown out to Denver Children's Hospital, where I spent the next 6 months of my life. I was born in June, came home at Christmas time. And therefore, I was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. And so it may sound like I have a little bit of cold, but I land up having a speech impediment. Because of the brain bleeds.
Now, you said 1987 you were diagnosed. When were you born?
I was born in June. I was probably diagnosed in June.
Okay, so immediately. This has been the life you have known, then. This is not...
Yeah.
You didn't transition...
Yeah, no.
Discovery.
This has been the life I've known, and this is... been the life I will continue to know until the day I die. Now, granted, people with cerebral palsy can live a normal lifespan.
Okay.
So, I didn't acquire this disability. I got it at birth. This is a disability I'm used to coping with on a daily basis.
So I don't know that that makes it better or worse, and I'm curious as to you being you and you looking at a world that does not have cerebral palsy and some of your friends and acquaintances that do. What do you think of this life that you were born into?
Why do I think I was born into this life? I don't know. That is a curiosity killed question that I cannot answer. But I will tell you one thing. I was lucky enough to be mainstreamed in an able-bodied classroom, and for my smart crew that's listening to this interview today, they get why I say that. And I was lucky enough to be mainstreamed, and so I was never placed in a segregated classroom with special needs kids. I was always placed in the able-bodied classroom. I might have been pulled out for speech therapy and occupational therapy and physical therapy, but I was placed in an able-bodied classroom all the way until I graduated college.
Awesome.
And so I was never teased. So when you asked me that question, that threw me for a loop, honestly, because I was always brought up as an able-bodied woman, despite my little disability called cerebral palsy.
So let's just leap on that for a moment. Do you believe that the method by which people approached you and you responded is one of the most helpful methods to adjust to any disability? Or is that just too grandiose of a statement?
Yes. Yes, I do. I do. I do believe, and you might be surprised by this fact. I did not grow up with the American Disabilities Act because I was born in 87, and the American Disabilities Act did not come into effect until 1991. And out in Colorado, where I live, it's still not in effect. So I did not grow up with the Americans with Disabilities Act behind me. So therefore, my parents and my family had to be trailblazers in my own life to get what I needed. And they did everything in their power. We're still doing everything in our power to get what I need.
Wow, that is quite a... And do you think that the Disability Act, if it had been available in 87, if it were available in Colorado, it would make your life easier in some ways, not as good in other ways? And what are those ways?
Okay. It would have... You threw me for a loop again.
While you're thinking of your answer, I'm thinking that people are going to turn into this radio show that are parents wondering what to do. And
yes.
Individuals
yes.
in your situation,
so,
cerebral palsy as well.
That's why I'm trying to think of a creative answer here. So, yes, I do. I do think it would have helped in some ways. But here's the problem. The problem is we are so focused on getting these kids, and I say kids because cerebral palsy is not adult disability. You grow into it. You get it as a child. We are so focused on getting these kids functioning, and I say
yes.
functioning, that we are so focused on the diagnosis that we don't look at what these kids could achieve.
Well said.
Whereas in my generation, they looked at what, along with the diagnosis, they looked at what these kids could achieve.
Hmm. That is a stark difference, Lynn. I mean, that's huge. So parents that are simultaneously negotiating this, they need to say, our child is equipped with so much, and let's make sure we
yes.
pay attention to
yes.
all that equipment and advance
please,
it.
Please don't listen to the doctors who say your child needs to go into a home.
Hmm.
Into a home. And the reason why I say that is because my doctors at the time automatically told my parents, this child will never be able to walk, will never be able to talk, will never be able to feed herself, will never be able to function. Put this child in a home. And so to all those parents and all those educators out there, don't listen to those doctors. Because these kids have more to give than you can shake a stick at. And I also hold an educational degree.
Perfect, yes.
So, therefore, I'm coming from personal experience / educator's experience.
Now, you have also grown up during the incredible evolution of technology. And, I mean, how has that made life more doable? Because you talk about all sorts of different technological things that you can use and make your life doable on your Facebook.
I use adaptive technology. I have spent hours and hours and hours with adaptive technology. And it's funny you should say that. I have spent hours and hours with speech dictation. Do you know what speech dictation really works?
Yes.
Now,
your
viewers will be surprised by this one. Apple's Siri. Apple's Siri, and yes, you can write a book on Apple's Siri. It takes a long time. but because all these, now if you want to go the cheaper end of it, I would recommend Dragon Naturally Speaking. But because of my speech impediment, all these dictation programs don't recognize my speaking.
Ah. Shoot. So what do you do?
So what I've found is Apple's Siri immediately right out of the box recognizes speech impediment.
Wow, I had no idea. So as a consequence, Apple Siri, wow, this is quite a promotion for them. Have they taken advantage of knowing this?
No.
Oh my goodness.
They don't know. They don't know. And that's one of the things I do mention and I win. And that's how I vote for some odd word manuscript also in my young adult novel, The View from My Heels, because I use speech dictation.
So
basically,
your iPhone.
I speak it. I use on my iPhone. I use it on my all Mac laptops come with it. All new iPads come with it.
This is so fascinating. Okay, you know, Lynn, I think that we need to contact Apple and let them know that you're there promoting their product in this really very profound way because this changes lives. It changes the way parents can communicate to children to parents, educators, you to the world. And this is a life changer, and we need to get Apple to know about you.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, someone else said that to me a couple months ago. They said, does Apple know that you're doing this via their technology? I go, no. And so that's assistive technology is actually really great, but I would not recommend these parents go out and spend the thousands and thousands of the dollars on these via voices or what else is out there now. I don't know. And Dragon Naturally Speaking works. Apple's Siri works. And that's about it. So those
of
us
tried it
who
all.
Have speech impediment.
So you have tried it all, and you know. What do you do in terms of technology in your body?
In terms of technology in my body, I have, well, I have metal in my body. I have no technology in my body whatsoever. All my technology is outside my body, thank God. I just have metal plates in my back, metal screws in my back, metal rods in my back, metal plates in my feet. I'm the bionic woman. And yes,
you are.
People have said that to me as a joke. And so, yeah. So I have no technology inside my body whatsoever.
I see. And so how does the metal assist? How do those, that
well,
skeletal support assist?
Well, if I didn't have the, I got the metal in my back, which I mentioned in my book. I got the metal in my back because of really bad scoliosis. By the time I got diagnosed with scoliosis, I think I was 12 when I got diagnosed with scoliosis. I can't remember. And by the time I went to the doctor in April, I came back in 6 months. My scoliosis curve had gone from 30 degrees, 30 degrees,
yes,
to 50 degrees.
Oh, wow.
Which means it's now pressing on the internal organs.
Oh, dear.
Which means without the surgery, I basically would be dead. And now, when I look back on that surgery, I wish they had given me alternative options. And
oh, wow.
The reason why I say that is because when I went in for surgery on June 14th, 2006, after graduating high school in May, I was a fully able-bodied woman walking independently.
Hmm.
By the time I came out of that surgery, I was paralyzed semi-paralyzed, with nerve damage. They let my spine go dead for 20 minutes. And I am the youngest person to survive propofol infusion syndrome, which means your blood has an allergic reaction to the anesthesia.
Oh, dear.
And your blood gets acidic.
Wow.
And this is all when I was 18.
Wow.
I spent 3 days in the ICU fighting. I spent 11 days in Denver Children's. I spent my 19th birthday in a hospital bed. And as a result, I still have a fairly bad back to this day. And I am on a walker as a result of the surgery.
Oh, my goodness. And is this because the technology was so new? Was it because it wasn't done right? Was it because
it wasn't done right.
Oh, my gosh.
It's because the doctors are completely at fault. It's technology isn't new. The technology isn't new. The doctors are completely at fault.
My goodness. How do you deal with the bitterness or the anger or the feeling of powerlessness over this incompetence in these circumstances?
Well, I'm making best out of a bad, very bad situation. I am living life to the fullest despite my situations. Ugh. And I say situations with an S because that's only one of them. The other one I will mention, which is public.
Okay.
And so I live life to the fullest. I seize life by the horns. I do adaptive snowballing, Inc. I write books. I am a motivational speaker. I am a teacher of preschoolers. So I pretty much live a bold, bodied life.
Your part of your title of your book is My Journey as a Disabled Woman Living in a Non-Disabled World. Do you often feel like you are looking at able-bodied people without metal in their body and wondering why in the world they're so whiny or why they're so defeated?
Adult pity parties drive me nuts. And the support crew that's out there listening today, and I have support all across the country. For the view for my health, and the support crew that's out there listening today knows that adult pity parties, adult able-bodied pity parties, drive me nuts. It's like when people complain about our hangnail, they take it on Facebook and they complain about our hangnail, or they complain about their children having a tentative. I'm like, you don't know what I have to do on a daily basis just to sit up. And that means then you won't ever find a fat person with cerebral palsy.
Why is that?
We have the higher metabolism because we exert so much energy to sit up and speak.
Oh, yes.
So you won't ever find an obese person with cerebral palsy.
Wow. I had not really thought of that. That's true. I've known a lot of people. One of my closest friends in graduate school actually had cerebral palsy, and you're actually correct. Wow. At least from my point of view. You know, you have a book called When Charles the View from My Heels. Is this a new book, or what is the status of this?
Was for the adults. I win as a form of grief therapy after losing my mom 4 years ago to a brain aneurysm.
Oh my goodness!
And so that was one of the hardest things anyone would have done,
oh my gosh,
including me, because she was my everything. She was my best friend. She was my aide. She was my everything.
Wow.
And a lot of people don't know this, and it will be public in my second book, in my second book of I Win, called I Win 2, which will be, I will start doing that in February. And
okay.
A lot of people do not know this, but I had to watch my mother die.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
oh.
Yeah. And that is every single day. Not a day goes by that I don't miss my mom tremendously.
Oh, yes.
And so that is the main reason why I wrote I Win.
So I Win was after your mother passed?
Yeah.
Wow. And the view from my heels?
The view from my heels is a new teen novel.
Mm.
It's not for the adults, unless the adults want to read it. It's more geared towards empowerment of teens.
Wow.
So that teens can see the light at the end of the tunnel and be open with their own disabilities.
Wow.
And so that's what we're trying to make, The View from the Hills. And the View From series, I say series, is going, The View From My Hills is actually a part of a 10-book novel series.
Wow,
and The View From My Hills is the first one. And
oh,
all
wow.
using speech dictation.
Yes. The View From My Hills book cover that you have on your Facebook is, it's ironic. It makes me simultaneously go, you know, it's like, and
well,
then,
that's just a temporary one. I actually got a publishing deal on Christmas Eve, so
I am under
a traditional publisher now, a small press publisher for The View From My Hills. So that is just the temporary one. My original plan was to self-publish The View From My Hills, just like I Win.
Yes.
But now, now we are under a publishing deal.
The cover that I'm talking about, folks, you have to go on her Facebook. Her Facebook is, can I share that? Is that all right?
Yes. Yes.
It's author Win K. Author Win K. Charles. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that's how it's appearing. Although you can put her name in, Win Kelly Charles. But this book has 6-inch heels on it. Beautiful black pump.
That's
6-inch heels.
That's just the temporary cover. We'll see. We'll see what my publisher comes up with.
When the reason that I'm kind of referencing the cover is because it, I'm thinking about how many times do you Win actually put 6-inch heels on and walk around. It is part of it. And
never.
We just had our prom here.
I'm laughing as you say that. Never in my life. And,
exactly.
And because never in my life would people will tell you I am a fashionista. I am a little bit of a fashionista. Thank you to my mommy for that one. But
yeah.
I never in my life would I put 6-inch heels on and walk around. I can barely walk around and ballet flats, let alone 6-inch heels.
Exactly. So and again, one of the things that teenage girls whimper about are, oh, my heels, and am I skinny enough? And
oh, my God.
It's got these 6-inch heels on.
Oh, God. Oh, God. You're delving into this book. Oh, my God. I never thought about that. So that's why I am written this book, because quite frankly, I was sick and tired of writing about myself, that it lands up, I needed to empower the next generation.
Oh my gosh, yes. And I'm in the ambulatory and the non-ambulatory, enough of the whining, everybody. There's so much that you can make out of your life. That
yes.
If you start looking at what all your troubles are, and we all have them, what your troubles are, you're not going to ever get yourself into really manifesting everything that you are here to be able to create and contribute. So now let's make a little bit of a shift, what was the process for you waking up and saying, I'm going to make a big difference in this world. My life, what I've been given, which isn't all great, I intend to make a big difference in this world.
Well, it started in preschool. And it started with a loss of a classmate of mine to childhood leukemia, which really opened all our eyes to how great life was.
Mm-hmm.
And that being said, I am still very close to that family. And it will go public, and I win, too. And so I discovered that I was different by the age of 6.
Okay.
Because all my able-bodied friends were running around and skating on a pond and walking independently, and I was still coping with my body. And so by the time I was 7, I realized, okay, this is what I now have to deal with. By the time I was in 7th grade, I landed up having a conversation with my mom on the way to school. At the time, I was going to a private school, and she said to me, and I remember exactly where we were and exactly how she said it. And this is public, and I went. And so she said, you have a disability. It is called cerebral palsy. It's called CP. And that's the way she left it. Well, long story short, not until I got in high school did I investigate my own disability.
Interesting.
And so I realized when I investigated my own disability to prepare a speech, I think, did I realize what the big monster of the call letters that were presented to me was of CP.
Huh.
And so, and my mother fought to get everything in her power to the day she died for me. And then it landed up. I am still taking over her charges, and I am speaking for those on behalf of those who cannot speak today. And that is why I win for myself, and now I'm doing the view for my heels, but I'm also letting those who can't speak for themselves finally speak for themselves.
Okay, so you mean you're writing a book for? I'm sorry, when you say those with CP who can't speak for themselves, that you are their voice in terms of your book in terms of your work with them.
I am their voice. I fight every chance I get for the disabled, not only for myself, and because there's so many huge misconceptions that I'm trying to break about all disabilities. And through my own disability, I win for myself. It has turned into a small little green monster that I can't control now, because people want to glom on to what I have to say.
Huh? What do you mean by what? Like, I don't know what examples you want to give. This is, clearly something you have to negotiate. Yeah.
I give you an example. On the first, when you look at my book, it says, I am my journey as a disabled woman living in a non-disabled world. Well, I have conquered living in a non-disabled world for 26 years. I am also a Kona triathlete.
Nice. Amazing.
Yes. I am a Kona triathlete. Now, I'm not saying my teammate and I completed Kona, but we attempted Kona. We are the first disabled triathlete, me being disabled, her being fully able-bodied. We are the first disabled women team ever to compete in Kona.
Wow.
And we did the swim fully, and we did the 85 miles on the bike.
Wow. I see on your Facebook, we have a picture of Kona wristband, and I see you next to what I think the glider photos. And I also see you on a stationary bike.
Yep.
And
That's me in a nutshell. I mean, I keep up with the able-bodied world, and they keep up with me. Thank you very much. I am speaking for those who can't speak. I'm giving them hope. I'm giving them there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I will, once a teacher of disabilities, always a teacher of disabilities.
So in terms of teaching all of us who are handicapped by our own whininess or handicapped by our own woe is me or our own inability to see our own abilities or are disabled by physical or emotional or whatever, what are the different components of staring the monster in the face and saying, you are not going to rob me of what I can be?
Well, one of the things I want to tell your listeners right now is after this interview is over, and then I'll get into this, I want you, wherever you guys are, to, I don't care if it's at the grocery store or at the gym, because I do work out in an able-bodied gym. I want you to look a disabled person in the eye and speak to them.
Perfect.
And not speak to their aide, thank you very much. Speak
yes.
to them.
Yes.
I say them because disabled people tendencies, even if they can't speak.
And it makes you feel like how?
And it drives me nuts when I am with the disabled crowd and people are speaking to their aides because they don't think that the disabled person gets it, gets what they're saying. And that is public, and I win. One of the things that drove my mom nuts is that people would speak to her about me, and I would be right in the earshot. And they would, I give you a perfect example, they would say, how old is she? My mom
oh, wow.
would look at them and say, ask her. Ask her. She can
yeah.
speak. And so I want all your listeners today for me to go out there and those who listen after this interview is over, to go out there and make a conscious effort to say hello to a disabled person.
Beautiful. In other words, break the barrier. Sit there and
exactly.
see all people.
Exactly.
Yeah, see all people regardless of whatever their circumstances
Do
are.
Do not judge a book
human
by
being.
Its cover. Do not judge a book by its cover. I have learned that in so many respects, and I'm still learning that, and do not judge a book by its cover.
Instead, just assume that this human being is fully capable of an emotional response and a capacity in one way or another to communicate, to connect.
Exactly.
Ah, nice. All right, Wynn, that's step number one for all of us. What's step number two that helps people overcome their monsters?
Step number two is
mm-hmm.
If you can write a journal, and there's many journaling apps on these phones, write in a journal every single night. I used iWin as my journal. My journal happens to be public. And so I
yeah.
want people to learn from me on how to write books. And that being said, I'm happy to speak to anyone who is scared enough to write a book, who is scared and doesn't want to write a book. Anyone, I mean anyone, disabled or non-disabled.
Now, what is the benefit of writing your book or books or journal? What is the empowering benefit?
Emotional release. Answer it simply. Emotional release. As my mom said many times to me, don't take your anger out on people. Take your anger out on your art. And that
wow.
being said, I'm also a self-taught digital artist. You can find my art on my main website, which is author, Wynn, W-I-N, Charles.com. You can also find on Zazzle.com through my main website. You can also find it on Redbubble.com through my main website. And so, and I'll speak to that effect on how I do that in a minute. And
okay.
basically, I want everyone to write what they're feeling and don't take it out on people. And
take it out on your art.
Don't take it out on, take it out on the art and take it out on the art that you love to do, whether it's performing art or whether it's art or whether it's writing or whether... And please don't take it out on Facebook because Facebook has gotten way too personal.
Wow.
Thank you very much. So please, I don't want to see any more adult pity parties on Facebook. You're laughing because your viewers will probably be laughing and be like, whoa, he's caught me now, because that's what we all do. That's what we all do. And so we take it out on our Facebooks, and it's like, it gets so annoying when I'm... I will walk beside people. I will help them conquer their own fears. I will walk beside people. I will talk to them. But I will certainly not rescue people out of their own situations. They have to rescue themselves out of their own pity parties. I can only walk beside them and help them.
Perfect. You know, on your Facebook, you have a lot of very inspirational sentences, statements, quotes. You believe that easily, which you hope for earnestly. That's one. You have a person here that you say how three authors helped reshape the path of my career, and you're out there saying, okay, folks, this is a little emotional moment here. Seize it and move forward in your life. And one of the sentences I'm looking for, see if I can find it, where you say, you know, you can be only balanced and stable when you are moving forward. And I think that is precisely what you're saying, is that, okay, you've got this difficulty, you have got to move forward. Whatever you want to move forward, you have
and
to move.
And those quotes are not my quotes. They come off BlaineyQuotes.com. And that is how I approach Facebook. And I will be posting my art and posting links to my website. Again, my website is author Wynn, W-I-N, Charles, charles.com, and you can find all my info on that. I'm also on Skype. I'm also on Google+. You can contact me through all those avenues. I am 9 times out of 10 reachable. If you want to set appointment with me, you can. There's a way of doing that on my website. It comes up as a little box, and you can set appointments with me. And my latest project, you guys, is Women of Wisdom. It's a Google+ talk show to empower every single person on planet Earth, from the able-bodied to the disabled, to the independent self-published author, to the able-bodied that wants to help the disabled, to every known to man character out there. And so, and I talk about everything from books to helping the disabled, to helping the able-bodied, to... So if you want to approach that one, go to my main website, click on womenofwisdom.com. On Facebook, it's Women of Wisdom with the T-H-E, the call letters C-P. And
beautiful.
That's my weekly Google Plus talk show. And I just thought I would throw it out there for who want to who want more of my wisdom. And as I said, I am working on a view from my heels, and I am reachable by Facebook, and I am reachable by Google Plus, and I am reachable by email. And so, yeah,
here we are. So again, folks, Women of Wisdom with CP, .weebly.com, or you can actually access that through your primary website, which is, again, Author Wynn Charles, author, spelled as is, Wynn, W-I-N, and Charles.com. When I first received your email, Wynn, I saw that your book was called I Wynn, and I thought, oh, that's great. Wait a minute, why is that comma there? And I got very confused. It's because I, and then your name is Wynn. Do you think it's ironic that your name is Wynn?
No.
Meaningful?
No.
Purposeful?
No. Because,
tell us.
No. That is my grandmother's name is Winifred.
Ah.
But she goes by Wynn. And...
Mm.
She spells it exactly the same as I do.
So the symbolism of it is that it just seems to me like you in your downtimes, and I know you have them, and you in your uptimes, and you in your working hard and fortified and trying to get yourself back, being motivated when you're depressed, or trying to lift mm-hmm. yourself up when it's hard and things hurt inside, that you have got to remind yourself that, no, I'm going to win this moment. And that's got to be the third tool.
Yep. And,
the first tool is about...
And if you look at the cover of my book, which is on
yes.
my website, you
yes.
will see my artwork on my cover.
Oh, that's yours.
That is
yes.
my artwork. And how I do that is I take digital photography and photo manipulate it into oil paintings.
Oh,
and,
wow, that's what that is, yes.
And so I'm a self-taught digital artist. As of 2007, I founded that company. You can find out more information in iWin about that company. And then on my front cover, I actually, without even thinking about it, put the national color for cerebral palsy on my front cover.
Oh, my goodness. Which is what?
Which is green.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And when I was doing an interview, someone said, what for the cover? And the interview in the office said, what a pretty cover. And I looked at the same cover and didn't even think about it when I was originally designing the cover, which I designed on my own. And I said, well, you know what? Now that I think about it, now that this book has been out, now that I think about it, I did that, I guess, subconsciously, because I'm so used to looking at green as a national color for sale belonging.
Oh, that is fascinating.
And so I put that as my cover. I didn't realize it had green leaves in it. The white hibiscus had green leaves in it.
Sure, and so the symbolism of it is right there in front of all of us.
So right there in front of all of us, and that isn't public. Well, now it is, and will go in I Win Too.
And I think also that the symbolism of your name is clearly probably the most motivating and most empowering reminder. Every day I have got to win this moment, and it's not going to be necessarily easy or even fun, and that if someone else is whining, there's a part of you that wants to say, just take the E off that word whine and come on, let's win.
Yeah.
You know, it's just let's go.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about facing the monster in terms of telling people, go and be personable and connected with people of all sorts, people with disability, connect directly with them. Secondly, write your feelings down, journal, write, publish, author, but write them because it's a perfect way of expressing yourself. Thirdly, don't take your anger and frustration out on people. Sure, people can be stupid, hurtful, ignorant.
And trust me,
irresponsible.
I have done it. Trust me, I'm not perfect. I am not perfect. I have
none of us
dreamed. I have done it, but don't take it out on the people. And don't take it out on either.
You're saying perfectly. Of course, you're going to be angry at incompetence or people who harm you or people who insult you or don't understand you. Of course, your feelings of anger make complete sense. But to be constructive about anger is going to build you up and help those who are willing to be built up by you, because
you have got to
build yourself up in order to win.
Yes.
Go for it.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. That's the point. You have got to build yourself up in order to win, and I'll leave you with that.
Okay.
You have got to build yourself up and empower yourself. And again, you can contact me through my website and gain more wisdom and more knowledge about my life through my website. And my book is available on Kindle. It's available in paperback on Amazon.com. It's also available on Barnes & Noble Nook. It's also available on Smashwords.
And also YouTube. Let's talk about your many, many videos. I'm looking on your Women of Wisdom with CP. You have many videos of just amazing individuals that are there to inspire. Tell me a little bit more about your YouTube.
Well, that project I will get into in the next time we talk, because I can tell this interview is, there will be another interview based on a view from my heels, because I will get into the Women of Wisdom the next time we talk. Trust me.
Okay.
And so, and if people want to contact me about that, they are more than welcome to do that. And I would appreciate that if you just are having a bad day, just be empowered.
Sometimes when you have bad days, you just want to just calm down. And other days you go out and you fight the good fight, don't you?
Yep.
Oh, Wynn, this has been a privilege on my part, as all of your interviewers, to meet you, to come down to earth with you on this, and then to rise above earth's limitations with you as well. Thank you so much for sharing your struggle and your capacity to defeat it all. Thank you very much. Final words
to
your audience, Wynn, or what?
Just to be empowered and live life to the fullest.
Got it? Whatever way you can do it. All right, everybody.
Whatever way you want.
She's there ready to be in your pocket of many resources to inspire you. So she's there, and that touches her heart very deeply. Wynn, thank you so much. Have an absolutely fantastic day, Wynn, and
thank
all
you.
Of my listeners.
Thank you.
Best to you.